الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program of this Islamic Studies class is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to authentic rites and rituals regarding the Islamic faith. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. And do not forget to have your Quran near you, or a paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes, because this is a class. By the way, those who are here are attending this class, the weekly class, welcome back to class. And those of you who are here, who are new listeners, or new students to the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic is going to be a little bit different, and it's going to be on Sharia, which is the Islamic law, Afghanistan and beyond. Now, why am I talking about, why did I mention this one particular country? Only because after 20 years of the presence in Afghanistan, the United States has withdrawn its troops from Afghanistan, and a new Afghanistan government has promised that Sharia law, or Islamic law, will be rule of the region. This is what they said on an interview that I heard. Now, in a prior episode, you were taught what the Islamic Sharia was, and the main two resources or sources of Sharia is to come from Quran and also from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. And so I will not talk about Sharia or Islamic law in that kind of sense. You can go back to some of that previous class where I talk about Sharia, and this in that previous episode. I will talk about what the rule or the role of this of the Sharia Islamic law is to look like in Afghanistan or any society in the world where people say that we are going to establish the Sharia. I'm not getting on any particular country, because the Sharia Islamic law is bigger than all countries and bigger than all human beings. And so I'm not even going there, not going back and forth. I'm not getting into a political debate regarding this particular issue. I'm not going there. I'm only talking about what Islam is and what Islam is not, and what the Sharia is. And you are already studied that with me, some basic information about the Sharia Islamic law. You already studied that with me, or we already had a class on that. And so we're going to just look at basically two aspects of it. One is about the treatment of women according to Sharia, and you're talking about also treatment of girls who are just little women, and so we talk about them just a little bit. And also we're going to talk about justice and justice for all. And so what the law says, I want you to open your Quran to chapter 4 verse 19, very very short verse. Chapter 4, verse 19. And it says in Quran, and treat them in a good and kind fashion, referring, of course, to the women or to the girls, because we men are getting to learn about the men being stronger and the like. And so we are to treat the young ladies or the women in a kind fashion, in a good fashion. Not what we feel they should be treated or how they should be treated. That's anywhere in the world. I'm not identifying any particular country. Like I said before, I'm not going there. I'm only just telling you what Islam says from the two main sources, which is right now Quran and also the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, the two main sources of Sharia, which everyone, all Muslims, should draw from. We should not have different interpretation, anything like that, because the Quran explains, Quran is explained by the Sharia, by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And we can't do what we want to do as men, and women can do what they want to do as women. We have to do according to the laws, rules and regulations of Islam. Because on the Day of Judgment, we all have to go before Allah. And Allah is going to ask our questions about what we did and how we spent our life and how we spent our money and how we spent our health and our wealth and that kind of thing. And so he's going to ask about those things. And of course, have our body parts speak for or against us. Your hand will speak for or against you. Your lips or your tongue speak for or against you. Your ears speak for or against you. Your eyes are for or against you. Your arms, your hands, all these things, your legs, for or against you. So you all get the idea. And you say, how can this happen? Imam, it's easy for it to happen, or Allah could make something happen. Because, of course, Allah just say, kun fayakun, something to be, and it is. He created Adam without a male or a female. Created Eve without a female. Created Jesus without a male. So this kind of thing is easy for Allah to do. All you got to do is say, be, and it is. And whatever Allah wants to happen, wants to take place, then it'll take place. He says, hands, tell me what this person did. The hands are going to talk. I'm going to look at my hands, and my hands speak against us. I say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? The hands basically say, look, Allah told me to do so. I can't go against Allah. So whatever you do with your hands, your lips, and anything like that, your eyes, what you see, is going to be a witness for you or against you, no matter who you are. No one is above this at all, and no one is above the law when it comes to Islam. And we get into that later on when we talk about justice. Again, referring back to the women, and it says, you have in the messenger of Allah the best example, the best character. And so we follow him. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, he never raised his hand to hit a woman or a child or an animal. Only time he raised his hand is during wartime. Those who fought against him, he defended himself and defended Islam. And that's what we as Muslims, that's the only, these are the ones that we follow. We don't follow our own desire or what we think should be happening. We don't do that. Or some leader misguiding us. We can't do that. We're not allowed to do that. I'm only telling anyone listening to me again, I'm not talking about any society, although I start off with Afghanistan and beyond. Beyond Afghanistan. Beyond any country in the world. Including some of the great countries in the world that may be the dominant countries in the world and they have different ideologies that they have that they dominate people by. That's not the way of Islam, and that can't be our way as Muslims. I'm going to move on at this point. Also, that the women have the right, or we call nafaqa. Nafaq is the women are to be basically maintained by the men. When the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he was asked by a man, what is the right of our women upon us? He said, and he answered, that you feed her when you eat, that you clothe her when you clothe yourself, or the way you clothe yourself, and that you do not strike her in the face, and that you do not disgrace her to the end of this particular sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or the saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We eat, we don't have this great steak or that kind of thing and just give her slop. We don't do that. We wear the best finery, the best clothing, and the women just wear whatever we can find for them, or what we think they should find, or colors we can find. That's not how it works in Islam. And we don't strike them. Like I said before, the Prophet Muhammad Islam, you don't can't find anything where he struck women or children or animal. He treated them with kindness. I want you to open your Quran to chapter 4, verse 34. Again, that's chapter 4, verse 34. This is very, very important. Matter of fact, I believe this particular surah is called Nisa, which is women. Because there you have basically two surahs in the Quran, or two verses, two chapters of the Quran focus on women. One, Maryam, who is the mother of Jesus, and this one is Surah An-Nisa, which are the women. They had none that called Rijal, or men. None of these chapters are named after men. This one is specifically called the women, or women. Now it says in chapter 4, verse 34, Men are the protectors and maintainers of women because Allah has given one more strength than the other, and because they support them from their means. This is clear. We have no choice in the matter that we are support the women, protect them, don't let no harm come to them, don't disgrace them, and we support them from our means. They're not less than us. They're not our slaves. They're our aides. They're our maids. They're partners in the situation. And we can't treat them lower than animals sometimes. And sometimes men, they would do that. Maybe that make you feel more manly. But that's not from Islam. That's not the way the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And it says it's in this surah, in this particular ayat. And it says again, men are the protectors and maintainers of women because Allah has given one more strength than the other, and because they support them from their means. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, he further said, all of you are shepherds, and all of you will be asked about your wards. The ruler is shepherd and shall be asked about his ward, meaning whoever he rules over. And the man is a shepherd of his family and will be asked about his ward. So I just want you all to be clear on that. The person, people who are rulers in whatever region they are, society they are, you're going to be asked about how do you rule over the people. And the people on the day of judgment, okay, you go ahead and get away with it now. I think you're getting away with it now. But on the day of judgment, people are going to speak for you or against you. They're going to honor you and say, yes, they were just rulers. They were good. Or they're going to say, nay, they were not just rulers. They treated us in a bad way. They harmed us. They were not just towards us. They beat us. All these things that some unjust rulers do. And so you're not going to get away with anything. And you might end up thinking you're going to paradise, but you end up in the hellfire merely because the way you treat people. And of course, a man is a shepherd of his family. And he will be asked about his family because you think that you're doing something in your family household and you are the greatest person in the world society when you're amongst the people. Go to the mosque, whoever. But when you're home, you are a tyrant to your people, to your wife, to your children, and relatives that come to your house. And they're going to testify for or against you. And don't think Allah doesn't see what's going on. I mentioned this before in one of my episodes, or one of my classes, that you have an angel on your right side writing down your good deed, and an angel on the left side writing down your bad deed. And that's for all of us. Anyone to hear my voice and those who not hear my voice. Send the message that I'm saying to you, to those who are not here, those who are not present. Let them know what true Islam is. And we're not getting away with anything that they think we do it in the dark. Because Allah can see what? I told you before in the class. He can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So you can certainly see and know what you are doing, each and every one of us, because we're not getting away with anything. Further, it is mentioned Allah loves or likes gentleness or kindness. Allah is gentle, likes gentleness, and gives for gentleness what he does not give for harshness. Be gentle. Be kind to the women, to the children, to your family. Be kind towards them. Be kind towards your neighbors. Be kind towards your brother, your sister, that kind of thing. Be kind and gentle towards them. Allah loves gentleness. He gives to gentleness of people who are gentle that he does not give to those people who are harsh to other people. You're not getting away with it because you beat someone or you hurt someone or whatever you may do. You are to be gentle to the people. Also, it is mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He said, he who is deprived of gentleness is deprived of good. I'm going to read that one more time. He who is deprived of gentleness is deprived of good. Who listened to my voice in this class today want to be deprived of good? Again, he who is deprived of gentleness is deprived of good. Now let's go to justice. What does Allah say about justice? And this is going to come from chapter 16, verse 90. Again, that's chapter 16, verse 90. And the law says, a law commands doing justice, doing good to others, and giving to near relatives. He forbids indecency, wickedness, and rebellion. He admonishes you so that you may take heed. Allah tells you this. He warns you. He's telling us straight up. He commands us to do justice, doing good to others, to our near relatives, and he forbids indecency, wickedness, and rebellion. Again, you're not getting away with anything because Allah sees what you're doing. In chapter 3, verse 18, I'm going to kind of give you some time with this to get to it. Again, open your Quran up to chapter 3, verse 18. And Allah says, Allah himself has testified to the fact that there is no God but him, and so do the angels and those who are well grounded in knowledge, standing firm on justice. There is no Ilah, meaning no God, except him, the mighty, the wise. So again, Allah himself testifies to the fact that no God but him, he's the only God that there is. And so do the angels testify to the same thing. And those who are grounded in knowledge, standing firm on justice. Standing up and not being afraid to stand up for justice. Speaking of that, going back to Surah An-Nisa, which is the fourth surah, the fourth verse, surah verse, same thing. Chapter 1, 3, 5. Again, chapter 4, verse, I'm sorry, verse 1, 3, 5. Again, chapter number 4, verse 1, 3, 5. And Allah says this to you. He said, oh, believers, stand firm for justice and bear true witness for the sake of Allah, even though it be against yourselves, your parents, or your relative. It does not matter whether the party is rich or poor. Allah is well wisher of both. I'm sorry. So let not your selfish desire sway or swerve you from justice. If you distort your testimony or decline to give it, then you shall remember that Allah is fully aware of your action. Allah knows what you're doing, and you testify and say, you know, I'm not going to tell the truth in this matter. Tell the truth in the matter. And then he says, stand up for justice and tell the truth for the sake of Allah. Even against yourself, tell the truth. Your parents, tell the truth. Your relatives, tell the truth. And it does not matter if the person is rich or poor. We stand up for justice. It does not matter who we stand for or against. There's one time that this lady, I think she had stolen a necklace. She was a rather wealthy lady, well-known lady. And so she stole the necklace. And so the people who were her supporters, they went to one of the companions of the prophet and said to him, I think they said this to you all before. And he said, and asked him to plead for this woman's case. So when a person steals, Islamically, you can prove a certain amount of money, certain amount of whatever she stole, she get her hand cut off. And so this sahaba, this companion of the prophet, he went to the prophet and tried to plead for the woman's case. The prophet was not happy about that at all. And he said, basically, look, if my daughter, Fatima, was to steal something, I would cut off her hand. It was a very serious thing. And so it doesn't matter who the person is, rich or poor. If the person did this crime and proved they met the criteria for the crime, then they get punished according to Islam. Some scholars said their right hand, then some say their right foot, some say their left foot, then their left hand. I mean, it's all kind of things that the scholars said regarding that. But who wants to get any part of the limb or one part of their body cut off? And now a person steals something that's a little bit different. They still feed their family. Okay, they got to justify that in the amount. And so the Sharia is clear about that. But when you're talking about someone just opening to go and take something, steal something, we have to stand up against them, stand up for justice. We know a lot of societies, the person is rich, the laws don't apply to them. But a person is poor, they what we call throw the book at them. we're going to make sure that they go to jail or they get whipped or they whatever it is. But for the, a lot of time, people who are rich sometimes get away with it because of their stature or because of their wealth or whatever. But Islam, we don't see that. We're blind to that. We don't see that at all. We don't care who you are. You stole something, we stand up for justice and you get it. Because if we don't do that to you, we got to stand before Allah to try to explain to Allah why we didn't take care of this person or do what we're supposed to do to this person who stole something or murder something or whatever it is, whatever the Sharia instructs us to do. We have to abide by that. Now, I want to also look at another verse in Quran. Like, I'm trying to just look at just verses in Quran and saying the Prophet Muhammad, just those things. Not from me. It's coming from, and you can find this anywhere. Anyone can look this up. Anyone that listens to my voice or anyone that's in my class. And so you go to chapter 7, verse 29. Again, chapter 7, verse 29. And it says, O Muhammad, say to them, My Rabb, meaning my Lord, had commanded justice, and that you set your faces in the right direction at the time of every prayer, and call on him with true devotion. You shall return to him as he created you in the beginning. So again, my Rabbi, my Lord has commanded justice. Our Lord has commanded justice, Muhammad. And he says, say to them, Muhammad, say to them, the last message to mankind, that your Lord has commanded you people to be just. Also in verse 7, chapter 7, verse 199. Again, chapter 7, verse 199. And roughly the Arabic is saying, show forgiveness, speak for justice, and avoid ignorance. Again, speak for justice. Speak out for or against justice. This is what we're supposed to do as Muslims. You're talking about to establish Sharia or anywhere in the world. Like I said, Sharia is bigger than any person or any country in the world, any society. It's bigger than them all. And that if we're going to establish it, establish it with justice. Because Sharia, the Islamic law, is to benefit society, but benefit man and men and women, so society, creation of Allah. It's a benefit. And keep away those things that do not benefit mankind, that's going to harm mankind. I'm saying mankind, of course, meaning women too. And justice is one of those things that we must establish within any society. If we're talking about establishing Sharia, Islamic law within a society. Now, let's quickly turn to chapter 5, verse 8. Again, chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, O believers, be steadfast for the sake of Allah, and bear true witness, and let not the enmity of people incite you to do injustice. Do justice. That is nearer to piety. Fear Allah. Surely Allah is fully aware of all your actions. Again, that black end on a black rock, sitting on a black rock on a black night. So Allah knows what you're doing. And again, he says, bear true witness. And also he said, to that, watch it. Don't let people make you do injustice to do justice. Not certain people, some people, just be just with the people. There's a group that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he loved this group. He was part of this group before he became the prophet. I think it's the Al-Fadu. It's that people will come from wherever they come other land, and they will work for the local people. And so, and because the one man he came, he worked for the local person, and of course you're supposed to pay the Islam is supposed to pay the person before the sweat dries on their brow. The man did the work he's supposed to do, fulfilled his contract, but the man who was supposed to pay him did not fulfill his end of it and did not pay the man. Mostly because the man was by himself, didn't have a tribe behind him and whatever. But he went and he was very angry. From the mountaintop, if you look, so-and-so did me wrong, but the people didn't do anything. He did me wrong. I did this for him, and he did not do this for me. He did not pay me what I was supposed to earn. And so he went to this particular group that the prophet part of, Al-Fadul, and he complained to them. And basically the prophet, he said, basically no problem. So he went to this man and he addressed this man and said, did so-and-so, basically he said, did so-and-so do work for you? Yes. Did he fulfill his portion of the contract? Yes. And so now this man, the one who the employer had to fulfill his end of the contract and pay the man what he earned. And so the man ended up, the one who employed the man, he ended up paying the man what he earned. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he stood up for justice. And justice was done against, he didn't know this man. It doesn't matter about knowing the man. It was just a man was treated in an unjust way. Then Prophet Muhammad wanted to straighten that thing out, and he went to the man, the employer, and told him, you owe that to the man, and then you pay it to the man. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, there's a sadaqah to be given for every joint of the human body, and for every day on which the sun rises, there is a reward of sadaqah, meaning charity, gift, for the one who establishes justice among people. It's a gift. It's a charity. If we establish justice among the people, we get the blessing for it. Just establishing justice amongst the people. And because I'm running out of time, I'm going to just say a few more sayings for the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. And he said, he who has been a ruler over 10 people will be brought shackled on the day of resurrection till justice looses his chains, our tyranny brings him to destruction. So we have to watch this. If anywhere in the world we're going to establish this deen, a Sharia law, we have to make sure we establish Sharia law. And on the day of judgment, we're going to be shackled. The rulers are going to be shackled. And then the people are going to basically testify for or against you. And the more they testify in your favor, then the shackles get looser and looser until they just fall off. Because you did, well, you ruled justly. But if you don't do that, the shackles stay on you, and you're going to suffer whatever you're going to suffer because of the fact that you did not treat this person in a just manner. Now, Abu Bakr Siddiq, who was the second Khalifa, or the first Khalifa of Islam, or the second leader of the Muslims, after the death of the Prophet, peace and blessings upon him, he said this. He said, in the matter of justice, all shall be equal in my eyes. This is what he said, this great leader, this beautiful leader, this is what he said to the people. At the time of the assumption of the office of Khalif, which is the leader amongst the Muslim, he declared, the weak among you shall be strong with me till Allah will, his rights have been vindicated, and the strong among you shall be weak with me till, if Allah wills, I have taken what is due from him. Also, Umar, his other beautiful leader and a great spreader of Islam, he addressed also his conduct to the people. And he said this, friends, you have some rights on me, and I tell you of these rights, so that you may be in a position to call me to account. These rights are, firstly, that I shall not exact any tax or other levy from you not authorized by law. Secondly, that whatever taxes are lawfully realized from you are spent on your best interest. Thirdly, it is incumbent on me that I shall protect the frontier of your land. Fourthly, it is my duty to promote your prosperity and look after your interests. Fifthly, if it is my obligation to do justice. Oh, Allah. This was these beautiful men said, these two first leaders of Islam, after the Prophet, after the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. This is what they said to the people. They ain't just say, I'm ruled, I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do. No. They instructed people, look, I got to do by right. I got to do what Islam said, not what I said. Even one time, Umar had wanted to, I think it was Umar, Allah knows best, he had wanted to like put sort of a limit on the dowry that the women can get from men or for those who wanted to marry them. And then a lady from the crowd, a little old lady from the crowd, I think she was an old lady, she kind of raised her hand and she corrected him. She said, look, Umar, this was not done during the time of the Prophet. It was not done that you limit the dowry of the woman. This was from the regular person. And Umar thought about that. He said, basically, he said, you're right. I can't do that. I'm not allowed to do that. And so Umar could not put that on the people that was not in Islamic law. And no society has the right that established Sharia had the right to go over what the deen said or what Islam says. We have to keep in mind, when injustice lives, justice died. Again, when injustice lives, justice dies. And so I'm going to start right now. You want to find out more about the Islamic faith and what some things I mentioned and establishment of the Sharia, to increase your knowledge of Islam, you can go to whyislam.org. You go to Islamic Online University, or now it's called International Online University, or American Open University, and you get great information from these particular people about Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith in Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.